Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our paper 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to The First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Ryan Roberts. Today, we're going to be redoing our episode, talking about our top 10 offensive tackles in the 2025 NFL Draft for Summer Scouting. This is probably the only time we've ever retaped an episode, and reasoning, was violently sick on Tuesday, tried to tape through it, was a terrible idea, resulted in a bad show. Ryan thought it was fine. I thought that you folks deserved better, so we're going to redo it. We already know what our top 10s are. We're still going to go through them in the typical ordering in the way that we usually do. I want to quickly start, Ryan, just talking about this tackle class. It has been very shaky, but I don't think it's as bad as you might have perceived it. You were one of the things that you said when we taped this on Tuesday is that you are really not very high on a number of guys. You don't think the class has like a ton of good depth. I agree with that. It's nowhere near last year's class that we saw in 2024, but there's some quality players. I think that there's a good shot that we end up with six, maybe seven or more decent starting guys or better in the NFL with this tackle group.
Joe, it feels like deja vu, man. It feels like this is a conversation we have already
had. Shut up.
Look, man, and this is how I kind of phrased it when we tried this the first time. There's always that battle between the previous class compared to this class, right? And that's why, yeah, I think sometimes people get super excited over class or super down on a class is depending on what we just had, right? So, like, example of tight end for a second, because we haven't done a tight end show, Joe. I am much higher in this tight end class than it was last year, but we need to be understanding of where the class does stack up in a vacuum, right? We're not comparing it right from one class to another. Is this a good class? Is this a bad class? Is it somewhere in between? I would say that this is a below average offensive tackle class is how I would phrase it. This isn't the worst offensive tackle class that I've ever evaluated. It is not. But is it nearly as good as last year? No. Is it bad? No. Also, no. I think that there's a little bit of, there's middle ground to this conversation, right? I will say this, though, from the positive light of this class, I do believe that there's a lot of wild cards in this class. And wild cards in summer scouting are good because wild cards mean, well, there's two avenues here. Either they don't fulfill potential and we are where we mm-hmm. are, or they hit their potential and you start to feel a lot better about what the full quality of the class can potentially be. So I am sitting here with this class and saying there's about 4 to 5 guys that I have probably in a tier 2-ish bucket where I say, that guy could really help the class because he has a lot of raw tools. He has a lot of physical ability, but he's just not there yet. So I think if you're going to be very optimistic of this offensive tackle class currently, for 2025, I think you need to look at it from this lens of there's promise and potential. You just have to hope that a few guys hit for it to turn into a good class potentially.
It's definitely not as bad. And the one class that I always think of when we talk bad tackle class is the year with Garrett Bowles, where I want to say Garrett Bowles was OT1 or he was one of the earliest ones taken. And
He was one of the top.
But it wasn't until the very end of the first round. And then if I remember correctly, I'm going to go look up in a second. If I remember correctly, there were a lot of really bad tackles in that class that just didn't pan out. I don't think that that's going to happen. I do, though. I think there's a huge, very visible cap, like at maximum four tackles could probably go in the first round. I do not see a world that any of these guys that we're going to be talking about today, that there's going to be such an aggressive ascension that we have more than four that go in the first round. Four is being very generous. Like, that's being super generous. And it also comes down on how you classify and how the NFL, what team takes Jonas Savanea. Where is he projected, which is a conversation we're going to have a little bit later on.
I looked it up for you because I'm a nice person that does work while you talk, right? Is 2017 is the class you're talking about. Garrett Bowles out of Utah was the first offensive tackle taken, number 20 overall, Denver. And honestly, Garrett Bowles actually ended up being a pretty good player. Like, he's a pretty good NFL offensive lineman. The second offensive tackle, number 32, Ryan Ramczyk. So that one ended up being pretty dang good. But then after
that one was pretty good.
That was the only two offensive tackles in the first round. Then you had Cam Robinson in the second round. You had who else?
Antonio Garcia.
That was the only tackle in the second round. Was Cam Robinson?
And then
there were a couple guards.
Third on Antonio Garcia.
Oh, Deion Dawkins. Deion Dawkins counts in the second round there.
Yeah.
Not a great tackle class, man. Not a great tackle class. Not great depth.
That is wild. There's three starters in this group of tackles that I'm looking at right here.
Yeah.
And all of the rest, I don't even know if most of these guys are even on rosters anymore. I think most of these guys are out of the league.
Julian Davenport to Houston.
Yeah, that my name went right to him.
Oh, Zach Banner. Well, oh, geez, man. Some of these names are blasts from the past here.
It's not one of those classes. There's going to be a lot of guys, as you talked about, that could continue to grow and develop and turn out to be quality starters. As we always do, Ryan, I'm going to share my 10 through 6 from this class. Number 10 is Josh Simmons from Ohio State. Number 9 is Chase Lunt from UConn. Number 8 is Ajani Cornelius from Oregon, which has been classified as a guard or a tackle. I think that lack of tackle depth could maybe end up him being a tackle in this class. Number 7, Josh Connerly from Oregon as well. And then number 6, Arianti Ursary from Minnesota.
So can we start with Josh Simmons for a second? Because we talked about it before. He's number 11 for me, so he just missed the list. But he's, for people that don't have background, Ohio State offensive lineman, one-year starter at Ohio State. But he was previously at San Diego State, where he was a starter there. Was a big portal pickup for them last year. I feel like we have pretty similar opinions on him, Joe. But I do think that he is one of the guys that I would classify in this class as far as being a guy that could rise because there are building blocks to work with.
Yeah, Simmons, for me, I saw the tools enough for him to be a guy I'd be willing to take and I think could last and stick as a average to below average starter, which sounds me being like critical of him, but there's a lot of, we look at the NFL, there's a lot of tackles in the league that are below average starters that stick and also get multiple contracts. Some teams just kind of need bodies. The Giants are a really good example of this past free agency. They just threw a bunch of money at guys that were average to below average starters, hoping one of them could be average and they can have some consistency because they've lacked consistency. But I think with Simmons, I think he moved pretty well. I thought that he had good leg drive and mobility in the run game, but not like a ton of displacement power. The one thing that irked me with him, why I was on the lower side compared to others, I just felt like he had really not very good balance in pass protection, like was super lungy, was one of those guys who buried his head a good bit and was just off balance and led him to miss reps. His hands also were a bit inconsistent. So just some inconsistencies for a player that has been playing for a good bit and was also experienced in going up against Some pretty stellar Big Ten defensive linemen. I do wonder if he does end up like Donovan Jackson for me, where there is an improvement because second year in the Big Ten, more reps, he decided to go back to school and just more time being around the sport, adding more weight, adding more strength is just going to help him because he's been around more.
I think the strength is the key there. I think, you know, when you're talking about a nutrition program and a strength and conditioning program for a San Diego State, which is a group of five team and a power four team like Ohio State, it is just, it's worlds of difference, right? Yeah. It really is. And we'll talk about that with a guy that's going to be on my list as far as the, just the enhancement when you talk about the what he's pumping into his body every single day. But the biggest thing that I want to see of Josh Simmons was, one, let's get stronger. And I think that's probably been a point of emphasis this offseason. He is a naturally talented mover, though. He's got good lateral mobility. You mentioned the lunging, Joe. He does lunge, but I would argue that it's not lunging because he's inflexible. Like, I do think he has flexibility. I think it's just more of a overcompensation right now of just that he just doesn't have displacement power. Like, he can't play outside of his frame comfortably because he just lacks that power to be able to uncork guys with his initial hand placement and that type of stuff, right? So I think as he gets stronger, those things will be remedied. I think the game is also moving a little bit fast for him. I will say this, though, in the positives, right, is when I watch film of the three games that I usually watch, at least for summer scouting purposes, I like to space it out of one game early in the season, one game in the middle, and one game at the end, because then you can kind of see, right, because then you can see how much is this guy improving? And I think that's especially important for a kid like Simmons, who is jumping from San Diego State to Ohio State and playing those Big Ten defensive linemen, is that you want to see, was game 12 better than game 1? Was even game 7 better than game 2? Like, you want to see that ascension as far as getting more comfortable and the game starting to slow down, which I think you did see from Simmons this past year.
All right, who do you have for your 10 through 6?
10 through 6, so number 10, I have Charles Grant, offensive tackle out of William & Mary, a little bit of a smaller undermanned player, but 35-inch arm, 6'4 plus, a lot of tools. Chase Lunt from UConn is a kid that I like quite a bit at number 9. We have number 8, Emory Jones from LSU, who I know you graded as a guard. Then I have Wyatt Millam from West Virginia at number 7, and Anthony Belton, offensive tackle from NC State, all 6'5 plus, 348 pounds of them at number 6.
I'm going to wait to get to Belton in a second.
Yes.
Two guys that I want to quickly mention. Charles Grant, man, I need to do a better job. And I'm glad that, Keegan, I know you're listening. Now that I'm not like super tied down to RPM, I can actually share these clips of these guys. But Charles Grant was one of these players for me that I would have been screaming from the rooftops if I was still just a pure independent scouter at the time last year, and you had asked me to watch him for RPM. You had gave me a nice long list.
You're welcome.
Well, you're welcome for me coming back and saying, hey, this kid is ridiculously talented. And I think the grading where you placed him as your number 10 is a very similar grade to what I threw on him as a 2022 kid. I think I had a fifth on him was what I graded him as.
I have a late 4 on Charles Grant. Yeah, so we're very similar there. Very similar.
He is a super unique player. And if Kiram Agamdeji went as early as he did, I really think that Charles Grant is going to be that riser throughout this process that a lot of the non-ball knowers and that are late to the party are going to be like, who's this William & Mary kid? Like, well, he's going to be your starting right tackle if you keep joking like that. Really fluid mover. I think he's got some nice power for the fact that he was playing at 270 at one point. If he's 290, like you've told me, I mean, this kid is so gifted.
I was told by a scout, and I was also told by a assistant coach for William & Mary that he was in the 290s this spring, which is a great sign. Joe, he has a frame to put it on, but anytime they were talking about a kid that's played between 280 and 290 the last like 2 years, there is that conversation of like, does he have a hard time keeping weight on? I don't know the answer to that, right? Because then we're dealing with the simple fact of like the nutrition side of things. William & Mary's nutrition program, all due respect, is not going to be what like Josh Simmons is getting at Ohio State, for instance, right? Or some of these other guys are getting at a major power four school at this point. So if he is able to put on the weight, which is always the question mark, I think he's got the goods, man. I think he's got the goods where he could also play especially in a heavy like outside inside zone system. He could be a guard too if you wanted him to with his movement skills. There is no doubt in my mind, but I think he is a tackle with that 35-inch arm. I just want to see, again, can you hold weight? And I was very – it's always fun when you're well above the curve. Did I tell you this? That like a week or two ago – I'm not going to say the agent's name because I'm going to be, you know, respectful, obviously. But an agent texted me and was like, hey, man, you got to get your eyes on this Charles Grant kid from William & Mary. I'm like, brother – you're like a year and a half.
We're 2 years ahead on you on that one. That was this time last year, I think, that you and I had the conversation on Charles Grant. Okay, Wyatt Milam. Why? I have a late fifth, early sixth on him. I was so unimpressed by him.
I have an early four. I have an early four on him. I think that this kid is, and how it equates, because we're always going to throw out like the thirds, fourths. So an early four is in my grading scale. Is a kid that has traits to be a future starter, but should not start for 2 to 3 years, right? So we're talking about a kid that does need time. Like, this is not a day one starting offensive tackle in the NFL. Wyatt Milam is a 6'7", 300-plus pounds offensive lineman who I think has appropriate length and movement skills. And I think he is one of the more technically sound offensive linemen in this class. I think that this kid is going to be a swing tackle at worst. If he's a low-end starter eventually, I would not be shocked at all, or maybe even a solid starter eventually. I think that he does a lot right. Is he as spectacular or as flashy as some of these guys? Like, when we start talking about Ariante Urseri and Anthony Belton and those types of kids, are the highs as high for Wyatt Milam? No, absolutely not. But I would also argue, though, that the floor might be higher, right? Like, he just doesn't lose a ton of reps. So, yeah, I like Wyatt Milam for the floor that he brings and the solid overall athletic profile and physical profile he brings as well.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I was just unimpressed by... I mean, big kid, the length is something that you obviously can't coach. But the only aspect that I was unimpressed by wasn't super flexible, and I didn't think that he moved well enough for me to feel good about him lacking that flexibility. The athleticism kind of, not scared me, but
I think it checks boxes.
Made me think.
I think it checks boxes.
Yeah, I saw backup at best. I don't know if I'd be super excited if he was starting for me, but I get it. I mean, he's not that far off.
That's how bad this class is, Joe, that OT7 for me is a guy that I project to maybe be a future starter, like year two, year three, maybe. And that's a little down the road, a little down the road.
He's OT13, and I had Riley Malman ahead of him, which if I'm going for someone who's got the length and lacks the flexibility, I'd rather go with Riley Malman.
Riley Malman was OT14 for me, OT14.
Now look at that. Well, we're not far off on Malman. We're both in the same range.
No, we're not.
Speaking of Wisconsin tackles, my number five was Jack Nelson from Wisconsin, who is a pretty big tackle prospect, has the size, pretty filled out frame. I really liked his lower body power and his leg drive as a run blocker. I thought that there were a number of times on reps that good positioning, he gets the right momentum going forward, and he was able to really drive some guys off the football. Not super consistent. I think he needs to work on that, but there were some reps where I saw the ceiling for him as a run blocker. I really think that he is somebody who isn't as flexible as some of these other top guys that we're talking about, but I believe has just really easy movement skills and a really nice light anchor. That's why I'm up on him. I think he also pretty good upper body strength. This is where I think you and I differ. I think that his just general power was pretty good, why I was willing to put him at five where I have him. And I see where he could end up being. Maybe not a high-end starter. You know, I'm going to be honest here, as we're talking about with this tackle class, not a lot of high-end starters, but I could see him being an average starter in the NFL because he moves so easily and he can keep up with most defensive ends and probably gets his butt kicked when he has to go up against a Myles Garrett or somebody who's in that elite category.
I see starter traits with a guy like Jack Nelson. I see starter trades because you mentioned it, Joe. He's got a good frame. He's got room to put on more weights. We obviously do disagree on the power. I think his power is average at best right now. But his movement skills are really good. I mean, lateral movers, he's one of the best in this class. I mean, he gets out of his stance. He has good vertical push. I mean, there's a lot to like about a Jack Nelson. Here's my two biggest the drawbacks. One, I think his hands are really bad. Like, or bad's a little bit hyperbolic. I think his hands are an issue at times for him, both in pass pro and the run game. I think that his aiming points are just a little bit off, like a little bit outside the frame. It's just a little ugly. I think there's going to be some holding penalties in Jack Nelson's future. We'll leave it at that, right? But the biggest thing for me was regression I saw last year. Like 2022, mm-hmm. We were talking about this last year. 2022, I stopped the top 150 with a arrow pointing up on Jack Nelson entering the 2023 season. I thought there was a lot of room to work with and a lot of athleticism to work with. 2023 for me was just not nearly as good as 2022. Like, I just did not see it, man. Like, it was just down. And anytime a multi-year starter goes from a plus starter to a average to below average player, it scares me a little bit, right? So I'm in wait and see mode with a guy like a Jack Nelson. I could see Jack Nelson being a top 7 tackle in this class. I could see him being right around 10 or lower. I mean, potentially. There's a wide gap of opinions, I think, on him right now. He could be very good, or he could be what he was in 2023. I'm just waiting to see which version we get in 2024.
Yeah, I'm still banking on him. Who's your number 5?
Number 5 for me is Ariante Ursary, offensive tackle, Minnesota, verified this spring, 6'6", 325 pounds. I've said this before, but he gave me, and I'm not comparing him to this player because this player ended up being a very highly graded player for me, but Talisi Fuanga out of Oregon State last year, who was drafted in the number 14 overall, I think, to the New Orleans Saints, right? I think number 14. Mm-hmm. I remember watching Fuanga, who was 6'5 plus, who was 325, 330 pounds. And I remember, Joe, when you look at his body type, you get this assumption about Fuanga, right? Like, he's going to be just a downhill, inside zone, just moving dudes. Like, he is going to be a very power-centric offensive tackle. And then one of the first reps you see of his outside zone, where he's reaching a wide alignment and showcasing that he has incredible lateral ability and some hip flexibility. And you're like, oh, that's different. I had a similar experience with Ariante Ursary. Not quite to the degree of a Fuanga, but to the degree of, I'm banking on a top 100 pick right now, right? With Ariante Ursary, and a kid that I think could end up being a top 64 player in this class, because at 6'6", 325 pounds, who's a mountain of a man, his movement skills are really nice. I do think that he needs to... Minnesota does him a disservice a little bit, because Minnesota runs a heavy RPO system, so there's not a ton of true pass sets. Like, you're not seeing him 45 and vertical set a ton. So I think that pass blocking is just going to be a little bit green for him. But the tools are certainly there. He has the general foot quickness. He has the size profile to be good in that regard. But what gets me excited right now is the upside in the run game. Not only does he have power and ability to displace gaps, but he also has really good movement skills. So whether you are a heavy power system or your heavy zone system, I think that he could become a very clear asset in the run game early on. Ariante Ursary, number 5, Minnesota.
Yeah, I had an identical grade for Ursary and for Jack Nelson. So I could have really swapped either or. They're actually right next to one another, and I definitely deliberated doing that. When I posted some clips of Ursary, I like watched the clips. I'm like, maybe I should be a little higher on him. But you did mention, you see this big, I don't want to call him lumbering, but just this big hulking guy with a strong lower half. And you think, kind of like with Fuanga, oh, he's not going to move really well in space. But he shines moving to the second level. I think he picks up blocks pretty easily on double teams. Like, I totally see a way that Ursary ends up being a quality starting tackle in the NFL. Yes. So I really like that one as your number 5. My number 4 that I've got on this list was Anthony Belton, who you mentioned as a guy who was outside in your top 10. Belton, for me, I was super juiced
outside
up
my top 5. He was number 6 for me. You made it sound like he was way lower for me.
But what I meant.
Yeah.
Anthony Belton was a guy that I got super juiced up about, because he's super big, hulking presence. He is
very bendy, very flexible, very easy, light mover. He'll knock you out. He is a strong, aggressive dude, super physical in the run game. Outside of that, very erratic with his technique. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and I'm glad that he went back to school because last cycle, he certainly would have gotten buried, I think, in such a really gifted tackle class. He might have gone mid to late day three, and he would have been considered to be a project at best. But now that he goes back, he could be one of the top tackles selected if he has a strong development this year. He leans out, his frame gets a little bit cleaner. He can move, he can really hit, and if his hands get fixed in pass protection, he doesn't hold as much, and he doesn't yank and grab and misfire as much as he does as a run blocker and a pass blocker, he could be a really big name in this class, enough so that he could end up being a late first rounder.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible for him. Like, here's my thing with Belton, why he was number six for me. The movement skills take you off guard. He obviously has all the size variables. I just think that he's a little sloppy built right now. I really hope, because, you don't have to be 348, bro. Like, and that's what he was verified this spring. I need you to be 335. Just trim it down a little bit. You're still massive. You still have that power profile. But I just think that there is just a little bit of bad weight on him right now. And I do think that that can affect what I would consider also plus flexibility. I do think he has that flexibility, but I dream of what it could be with a little bit of a tighter frame, right? And if you tighten up that frame a little bit, I think he's got massive upside. I need his hands to play a little bit more inside at times. I think he gets a little bit wide with his outside reach. I think that there's going to be some lapses in pass protection just because of that bad weight on his frame. But man, like, it's all there. Like, he is a Baltimore Ravens starting offensive tackle waiting to happen. Like, he is that type of dude. The power profile, the physicality, the length, it's all there. You just need to tighten things up a little bit, which I think he has the talent to do for sure.
All right, number four.
Number four, a guy that I know we talked about last time that you were not a big fan of that I have in the side, but I got Austin Barber from Florida at number four, Joe. Late third round.
Actually, wait. It's not that I'm not a big fan of him, but I'm not this much of a big fan of him. I think that this is very bullish. I'm not criticizing you for going for it, but sure. Continue with Austin Barber.
Late third round grade for me on Austin Barber. This is my, I don't want to call it a dart throw because that makes it sound very negative. This is my sleeper though in this class right now. 6'7", 315 pounds. This young man has a big frame, has a very well put together frame as well. Not bad weight on that frame. He's got length. He's got foot quickness. I think there's flexibility to work with as well. The thing about Austin Barber, is that he has not played a ton of football. He only started a few games in 2022 off of necessity. Actually ended up making a freshman All-American team, though, based upon the brief amount that he did play. And then redshirt sophomore year this past year in 2023, he played in, I think, 7 or 8 games, but like, he was banged up the whole time, and then he missed a few football games. This is a player that's green, but I do think that there are a lot of building blocks to work with this young man from a size, length, athleticism perspective. This is going to be about reps in 2024. And I think if he has those reps, I think he could develop into one of the better offensive tackles in this class. I think he has upside to work with. This is going to be about maturation in 2024.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Okay, so he is OT11 for me. I have an early fifth on him. I don't dislike Barber, and I see why you like him. Yeah. I understand that he is a very fluid athlete. Yes. See the flexibility. You watch him in his anchor and the length that he plays with. Mm-hmm. There's a way that he's going to win as a starter.
You're talking yourself into him, man. Go ahead, do it.
I'm not talking myself into him because the power, there needs to be a huge jump with his play strength. Just a huge, huge jump with where he is right now.
There's like six guys on this list that are in the same boat, though, man. They're all.
I don't know about that.
Chase Lunt needs an upgrade in power. Charles Grant needs an upgrade in power. Wyatt Millam needs an upgrade in power a little bit. We have Josh Connerly. Josh Connerly needs an upgrade in power a little bit. Like, there's a bunch of guys that need a little bit of upgrade and pop. Yeah.
I saw too much on film, way more than any of the other guys that I have ahead of him that do need to get a little bit stronger. I just saw too many times on film him getting bullied. I saw too many times of his anchor just completely dissolving. And the thing that bothers me, when guys lose reps and they start grabbing and holding and yanking, that stuff needs to get fixed. And I also thought his hand technique was a little erratic. I see there's a ceiling. I totally agree with you. There is a ceiling, but this is, by definition, a project. That's my only reason why I'm not in on this one. I don't dislike the prospect. I feel that there's certainly talent there. I just, right at this moment, cannot get in this bucket with you. I just can't.
Oh, all right. Well, if you don't get on for the ride now, man, you're gonna miss the train. So, I mean, it's your choice. It's your prerogative.
My number three is Jonas Avenea from Arizona. And my reasoning for this, you have him as an interior offensive lineman.
I do.
I think when I originally watched him and graded him, I decided for when I have a guy who can move as easily as he can and as easily as a guy like Troy Fuktanu can, I'm just going to consider him to be a tackle until he gets moved. Emory Jones does not make my guard list and my tackle list. He's actually a guard for me, and I will explain that reasoning when we do that. He's probably going to be a top three guard for me. I think he's just too strong and also not quick enough in long areas for me to consider him to be a tackle. With Savanea, though, if Troy Fuktanu gets drafted to play right tackle for the Steelers, I think that there's a really likely chance that whoever takes him and takes him early in the first round is going to talk themselves into it. And it's probably going to be a team that does need the offensive tackle help rather than the guard help. If you can get a guy to play tackle, you might as well see it. Certainly, you'd like to get a guy to play at his highest potential, but we know that the NFL doesn't always make decisions that way. With Savanea, though, really light on his feet for a guy that's 330 pounds. He can freaking move, gets to the second level super easily. Very, very fluid, easy flexibility. And then also great power, man. I thought that he is somebody who can totally anchor really, really well. The only thing that maybe needs a little bit more improvement is just more pop in his hands, a little bit more pop in his upper body to truly display some guys, which maybe is why he isn't as sexy as an offensive tackle prospect. But still, I feel really good about this kid taking another step forward in this upcoming season.
I think he has rare movement skills for a kid that's listed at 6'5", 330 pounds, which is why I'm totally okay with, because I have a difference of opinion with some as far as like where I'm projecting him. I have a difference of opinion slightly with you, I guess, right? But I would be okay with someone drafting him to play tackle and then seeing if you could do it and then failing out of it potentially. Like, I'm fine with that. I just think long term there's just a little bit more upside unlocked inside with a Jonas Avenea because, Yeah, his movement skills are good for an offensive tackle, but you know what they are on the interior? They're elites, elite level movement skills. So that's just a little slight difference of opinion, but I do like Jonas. I mean, when we talk about our interior offensive line show, you're going to hear how much I love Jonas Savannah as an offensive line prospect in general. Number three for me, Joe, with a early third round grade. Again, how good is this class? I have an early third round grade as my number three offensive tackle. Josh Connerly Jr. from Oregon. I feel like I'm a broken record at this point, but he's a kid that has a lot of tools to work with. He has length. He has generally good foot quickness. I think he has underrated pop in his hands. I just think that he is underdeveloped power-wise. I don't think he has a ton of leg drive right now. I don't think he has a ton of pop in his lower body to displace defenders. And I think the game's moving very fast for him right now. But I don't think it's moving fast because he's not a good athlete. I think it's moving fast because he's a one-year starter at Oregon. I'm very interested to see the jump he takes this year. He is one of the guys on my list that I'm actually most curious to see because, like, you can see the potential. You can see the upside, but he's not there yet. But he could generally be a very big riser in this class, potentially.
Here's my thing with Connerly. He, I think, is the epitome of the recruiting industry, where he was very highly recruited, and all he's been talked about is he was the best tackle in his class, and now he's just going to continue to rise, and he's going to be one of the top tackles taken. He's going to be a first-rounder. I didn't see first-round dominant tackle film from Connerly. I saw a guy that has really long arms and that is high floor in his athleticism. I think very average. I don't think he moves at a ridiculous rate. I don't think his power is anything that's awe-inspiring. I don't think his flexibility is anything that's awe-inspiring. And it's why I'm not criticizing the recruiting industry. They're trying to project guys.
Oh, you can. Certainly. I'm almost out of it, so you can do that all you want. Go ahead.
Well, I actually have a lot of respect for the recruiting industry. I listen to a lot of recruiting content because it really helps me know who's going to be up next. And I've heard Connerly's name for the past 3 years. Haven't really watched him because I wanted to wait until he was eligible. They want to project guys that are going to make the NFL. So you're going to throw on the board guys that have a higher chance, that have a higher floor, and that are going to contribute at the college level. And that's what he is. He played at a really nice clip and was important for Oregon's recent success and will be important for their success this upcoming year. I think he is stuck exactly where he is. I don't think that he goes any higher or any lower. Interesting. I have a similar grade. I think I've got a fourth on him. Okay. I'm not that far off on you. I just don't think he's going to go up or down any much more. Because where does he like really improve that he goes from being where you have him graded as a third rounder into being possibly a first round pick, as some people think he could be?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a first round pick. But again, as an early third rounder, I could see him getting earlier into day two because Joe, I think of it this way. Where can you make that rise? I mean, generally speaking, I think I'm a little bit higher on the athleticism, just slightly, right? So that's a little bit of a difference of opinion. But the other thing is, I mean, did you not think that he was a little deficient power-wise last year? I mean, I think that's where you could take a rise. Absolutely, is if he's able to add power to that frame, he's able to keep guys off his chest a little bit more, and he's able to anchor more consistently in the pass game. I think if those things happen, he's just a general riser for sure.
So you and I are opposites at one and two. You've got Kelvin Banks one, Will Campbell two. I've got Will Campbell one. You've got Kelvin Banks two. Let's start with Kelvin Banks from Texas. Dude, I really like Kelvin Banks. I watched him the first time, and at first I was a little put off because I was thinking to myself, hey, this kid, a little raw. I don't know if he's as good as he's been advertised. He's been propped up to be this elite tackle prospect. And then the more I watched him, I understood what he was. I understood that what we're getting out of him, which is it's traits. The guy can move. The guy's got some really, really nice power, some really nice leg drive. He just doesn't know where to put his body. He just doesn't know where to go in pass protection and know where to like really refine his anchor so that he doesn't give up any positioning in pass protection and really hone in his hands. But God, I see a world where Kelvin Banks, why you have him as OT1. I see a really easy world where he cleans up those things, as we see a lot of these third-year starting true juniors do.
in the world of college football that he ends up being a top 10 pick and ends up being the first tackle selected. I can see all of that happening. I like Kelvin Banks. I just like Will Campbell a little bit more.
Yeah, I think Kelvin Banks could very well play himself into being a top 10 to 15 true player. Because, I mean, right now, Joe, I'm betting on trades with the Kelvin Banks. He is graded as a very early second round, is literally the highest second round valuation I possibly can without giving him a first round grade. I think he's on the cusp of a first round grade. I just, technically, and from a pace, I don't know if pace is the right word, but I just don't think he's as, I don't think he's as aggressive as he can be in pass protection, especially. I see aggressiveness in the run game, but I just think he's one of those guys that's just kind of always been physically better than most of the people that he's played against. And I think that we see that at Texas in the Big 12 is that he is just a little better than a lot of the guys he's playing. I think that it is a blessing that Kelvin Banks is playing in the SEC this year. He is going to see a lot more bendy, athletic outside rushers that are going to force him to be a little bit more aggressive in his set points and to get to his spot a little bit quicker. Because I think foot quickness, power, popping his hands, it's all there. It's just about maturation and being a little bit more aggressive, specifically in the passing game.
I think that Will Campbell is the perfect marriage of him having a, not a super high ceiling, not him having the best ceiling of a tackle prospect that we've seen, but a first round ceiling, and him being really close to that right now with his floor. I feel at this moment as we are in summer scouting, and I really do think that this is going to change as this process goes on. But I think why I currently have him where I do is that I would feel really comfortable if I was an NFL team that was having offensive line issues. I'd feel really good about myself if I took Will Campbell because I would know I'm getting a guy with really good technique, a really good feel for the position, that just knows where he needs to be, that has the requisite length, that has good enough movement skills and good enough power that I know his anchor is going to be money and he's going to win as many reps as possible. I do have some fears with how high he plays at times, and that's fixable. Like, that's not a very big issue. He just feels super, a guy I could feel super confident in. And that's why I keep him at number one. And I know you've got a little bit different reasoning why you've got number two, but
yeah,
probably one of the easier evaluations in this class, because I just know what he is. And I know what I'm going to get come draft time next April.
Yeah. I don't think there's much bust potential with Will Campbell. I would phrase it like this though. Look, him and Banks have nearly identical grades for me for different reasons. I think Banks's tools are better. I think Will Campbell's technique is much better. So, like, there's a little bit of a jockeying of positioning there. But when we're talking about summer scouting, what breaks a tie for me is upside, ultimately, right? So why do I have Banks over Campbell? Because I just think if you project him forward, I think that he just has more God-given ability. You know, Will Campbell is, I do question, and I know you mentioned it slightly, but, like, is he close to his ceiling? You know, and that's not a bad thing. That's saying that I think he's going to be a plus starter in the NFL right now, more than likely. And that's a hell of a floor to work with. But is that also, is the ceiling and the floor close to each other at this point? Because I know Banks isn't. Banks is a player that I think could take a massive jump in 2024. I don't envision Campbell being that. Like, I envision Campbell being exactly what he's been for LSU, and that's good. Like, he's just good. He's just a good player, ultimately. So that breaks the tie upside. I think that Will Campbell, if I just wanted a surefire plus starter in the NFL or starter in the NFL, I think I would be willing to gamble more on him than even a Kelvin Banks at this point. But the ceiling excites me a lot more of a Banks, which is a little bit of the tiebreaker for me.
All right, that's going to do it for our offensive tackle rankings. Folks, drop a comment below. Let us know who we missed, who you would rank higher. Hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, and then if you're tuning in on audio, leave us a 5-star review, and we will get back to you later on in the week.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business, like Delta Airlines. Together with T-Mobile for Business, Delta Airlines is putting 5G into the hands of ground staff so they can better assist on-the-go travelers with real-time information. From the Delta Sky Club to the Jet Bridge, this is elevating customer experience. And Tractor Supply trusts 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business to connect over 2,200 stores around the country with 5G business internet. Plus, T-Mobile is powering AI solutions so Tractor Supply team members can match shoppers with the products they need faster. This is enriching customer experience. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunchberries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jean Lafitte.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunchberry.
No!
No one steals my Crunchberries.
I think you mean my Crunchberries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.